Certainly wonderful to be with you this morning. This just makes me feel at home, a small crowd. When you talk about mission work, you're not going to get too many people out. It's a sad thing, but we're just not educated to that point yet, but we're moving forward. In fact, I've had better response this time since I've been back, and I have in my 34 years I've been in this work. So things are looking up and looking better, and so I never judge or go by how many, but by quality. So I'm glad you're here. The very fact that you're here shows that you have interest. I know most of you already, and the ones I don't know, I want to meet you personally afterwards and get to know you better. But it's certainly wonderful to be here. As you know, my topic is great lessons learned from the work in Poland. Now, this work in Poland has really put a shot in the arm for our work in Europe. Since this food distribution, $2 million was collected, which was one of the greatest things to happen to the church in the 20th century. As far as I know, that's the first time we've ever rallied to such a work in the history, that is, in our history. Well, I think in the history of the world, really. I don't know if you could go back where you'd find that much money be given to a mission work, and that was taken up for food. And then, of course, Ghana has come on, and other places now in Africa and other places, and people are also giving to that. But it's amazing how we'll come and help people in a time when they're hungry for food, but for spiritual food, we're not too excited. But we're moving forward, and I want to leave a positive note throughout my whole lectures here, and things are getting better, and I look for them to get much better. In fact, things are really looking up as far as I'm concerned. And anyway, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you can come to all three classes. If you don't, well, it won't make much sense, because this is the first year we have tried this new schedule. I'll be speaking here from 8:30 to 9:30, and then from 11 to 12, and then from 3:30 to 4:30. And the first part I want to talk about God making the impossible possible, and this is this class here. And I hope and pray when you leave here that you'll be strengthened. I have a confession to make. I didn't realize, or I really didn't believe. And I know Otis Gatewood and my other co-workers didn't either, and I know the brethren in Poland have already admitted we didn't believe that we would ever receive legal recognition. But brethren, during the darkest hour of our work in Poland, God gave us this legal recognition. He made the impossible possible. And I want to tell you, it has really strengthened me. And it should strengthen you. It will show you that by God, all things are possible. And Jesus said that many years ago, didn't he? But we just don't believe it. And I really believe, including myself, there's not a brother or a member of the church that really believes in God like he should. I mean, to the extent. I tell you, the more you turn yourself over to God, the more God's going to use you. And I'll guarantee it's not only in Poland or wherever it is, can happen right here. And I want to tell you, Abilene's a mission field. Whether you believe it or not, there are more non-Christians in Abilene than Christians. Who would doubt that? I know for a fact that there are more non-Christians. And so it's a mission field, any place like that. Well, I don't know of a place in the world where it's not a mission field. Do you? The smallest village. So everywhere we need to have this faith that even God can do the impossible, and he can. And we can't, you know, we just forget Old Testament, how God used Nebuchadnezzar and how he used Belshazzar and those evil kings as his tools. And God can use Anthropov or this new one called Cherninko. I don't have it right yet, but anyway, we have some people calling Andropov and Andropov and all these names, but they're talking about those Russian leaders. But I've had people tell me I was a fool for believing we'd ever get legally recognized in Russia. Brother, I believe it with all my heart that it is possible that we can get it during my lifetime. And I believe we'd all start believing that, we'd get it. Don't you? We just don't believe enough. But this film and this God making this church legally recognized in Poland has really opened my eyes and helped me. I'm going to see that film for the 72nd time, and it never gets old. In fact, I'll get probably more than you will out of it, because knowing the background. But if some of you have already seen it one time, how many have seen this film one time? Just three of you, that's not bad. I'm glad that There's not any more of you have seen it, so most of you have seen it for the first time. But I hope it'll help you like it's helped me during these 72 times that I've seen it. And it's the only film in my life. I don't grow tired of it. I look forward to seeing it again. And I'll leave here with that. It'll just give me another shot in the arm. And I hope it'll give you the same thrill. But anyway, we want to talk about, before we see the film, we want to talk about what we're going to talk about in our second class at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk about the perseverance under heavy persecution. I know of no work in a brotherhood that has suffered more than in Poland. We've had more threats, more fines, more imprisonments, more trouble, you name it. We've had it in Poland. We've had more trouble there than any country in my part of the world, including Russia. And yet, this is the fastest growing church in Poland today. It's one of the best works, if not the best work, going on in all of Europe right now. Now, isn't that amazing? And no credit to me, but to credit to those brethren who have stuck it out, persevering under terrific persecution. And I was there not long ago, and Valenta Davidov, who's probably suffered as much as anybody other than Joe who died, Joe Naumut, he couldn't tell me enough. He said, Bob, you just don't know how happy I am to know that we have legal freedom, legal recognition, that we can work without being molested and bothered and persecuted and fined and threatened or being sent to prison. And he has suffered, including prison terms. But anyway, that's what we're going to talk about in the second class. And in the last class, the third one, is the evangelistic fervor of the Polish brethren, or the church. And just like I say, it's the fastest growing church in Poland right now. And I want to tell you some things that from my last visit that you can't even believe. In fact, I had to pinch myself when I was over there. And I still didn't believe everything until I talked with the leaders, that is the communistic ministers of religion in Poland. And they told me, eyeball to eyeball, that we now have this freedom, and they told me what kind of freedom. I thought there were strings attached to it. It's not. There's no strings attached. It is real. Everything you're going to see in that thing is real. There's nothing fictitious about it at all. And this film was made by the Polish government. Isn't that something? Made by them. It has been shown on all the major TV networks inside of Poland. It has given us $1 million, at least $1 million worth of free advertising. And I tell you, the interest there is just is so high. It just really a free if you can go over there sometime and experience it. But anyway, we're going to see this film. But let me just talk to you just a little bit about God making the impossible possible. I've already read some scriptures, quoted some. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them that believe. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, he's not talking about miraculous things that happen, like you can raise somebody from the dead. He's not talking about those things, but things that are just, to me, greater. I think what's happened in Poland is much greater than raising somebody up from the dead or any other of those miracles that happened in the first century. To me, this is one of the greatest things that could happen anywhere, and it has really given us a shot in the arm. And we know that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 9, 36 to 38, there it says that Jesus saw these people, they were scattered like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. Brother, this is what we need today. We need compassion. We need love and interest in people who are lost. I don't know if you know it or not, but less than 0.1%, I want you to think about that. And you can just check it out if you want to. But in this great big world of ours right now, over 4.5 billion people, less than 0.1% are members of the Church of Christ. Did you get it? I know it makes me sad. It should make everybody sad. But on the other hand, it's a challenge. That's the best way to look at it. And we need to believe, even though it's that little, there's no reason in the world why we can't get on fire for God. If you heard Leroy Brownlow, last night talking to the elders and preachers. I mean, that was a shot in the arm to everybody. And it tells us what we can do if we just get busy. And this whole lectureship, servants, every one of us should be serving. And every one of us should be evangelistic and trying to lead others to Christ. So let's look at the world and believe that we can preach Christ to every creature in our generation. It is possible. It's not an impossibility. But we seem to have a grasshopper complex. I mean by that in Numbers, maybe you read this story about Joshua and Caleb and those 12 spies that went out to spy out the land of Canaan. You remember that story? And 10 of those men came back with that old negative, dismal, dark attitude. We can't take that land. There's no way. Those men are giants, and we're just like little grasshoppers in their sight. And that's about the way we feel. You can laugh about it if you want to, but that's about the way we look at the world today. We just say, you just can't do it. Brethren, don't do it anymore. Let's talk like Joshua and Caleb. What they said, with God we're able. And Brennan, I want to tell you, with God we are able. And we can. And I tell you, I'd like to add that word must. We must take it. I think that's our God-given challenge. And we need to do it. And I don't think any school like ACU or any preacher's training school like Lubbock or any orphan's home, or anything that has to do with the church, I don't think it has a right to exist if its number one goal is not evangelistic, to save souls. I want you to think about that. And I think every program we have in some way should be tied to this main theme. That's the main thing. Why am I here? Why did Jesus come to this earth? In his own words, he said to seek and save the lost. And who are we followers of? We're followers of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And that ought to be our number one goal, to seek and save the lost. Are there enough to go around? There's more than enough lost people to go around for every one of us. So, but let's look at it as something that's not impossible. But I want to tell you, there's a dangerous trend. I average speaking to 150 different congregations every year. I did the same thing just this past year. And I'm on my way to the same thing this year. I never miss a Sunday morning, Sunday night, sometimes a Sunday afternoon, and sometimes in between in the week, speaking to some congregation in a brotherhood. And there's a dangerous trend right now. You know what it is? Do more at home and less abroad. What should we be saying? What should we be saying? We should be saying do more at home and more abroad. Isn't that true? And Brian, we can do it. There's no doubt in my mind. We have the personnel. We have the money. We have everything at our disposal. We really do. I want to read a letter. It might shock you. It doesn't shock me. It's not the first one I've received, and it won't be the last one. I want you to read. I want you to listen. It's from an honest person in Alabama. Said, I read your article in Radio News. I just recently wrote an article about my last trip to Poland, about how thrilling it was to be there after being outlawed for about 7 long years and not being able to get in there. Well, she read this in the World Radio News out of West Monroe, but she says, I read your article in Radio News. I also read lots in there, but didn't see where anyone holding gospel meetings in the good old USA. Now, she doesn't realize that 95% of all of our money, at least 95% of all of our energies, 94% of all of our personnel is right here in the United States. Would any of you doubt it? That means less than 5% is being done over there. And yet she says, that's not true. More of it's being done there. She just happened to read the wrong paper. World Radio News is not for to tell about local work, even though it does. But there it just mentions the different mission fields. You know that, don't you? And she read that and she got the idea. What? There's nothing been done in the United States. Anyway, she's, bless her heart, I'm going to write her a nice letter. I'm not going to condemn her for this, but it's just typical of this thing that I mentioned. This danger, you want to come on in? Dangerous trend, do more at home and less abroad. She said, wouldn't it be cheaper to... I am not against going into all the world and preaching the word, but it looks like to me we could divide it up, preach some here in our own country. Why? And some afar. But she mentioned some, yeah? But more over there, see? I mean, more here. But when we say mission work, people get seasick. I don't know if anybody really gets seasick, do you, when they say it? They want to go and set up in hotels with air conditioning and eat fancy foods. I wish she could have gone with me and spent the last 34 years with me. And very seldom does this ever happen. And when they go over there, it's because they can't find a place to live and they have to live in a hotel until they can get out of it. But hotels are so expensive. Even when I went over some 34 years ago, I couldn't even afford to do it then. And I can't even afford it now. They're too expensive for me. Anyway, they want to go up and set up in hotels with air conditioning, eat fancy food. I don't say they don't work. She doesn't really write really here. I mean, some of the words are left out. I am upset. I have been trying to get this small church in Illinois some help to building. But so no help as far as I know in Christ's service. And she mentioned that church, and I'm going to write her, and I'm going to tell her I'm praying for that work in Illinois. I just came from a breakfast for Idaho. I'm like Otis Gatewood. I believe a soul is a soul regardless of where it is. If it's right here in Abilene, that soul is just as precious as a soul in Moscow, Russia. Isn't that true? If it's out of Christ, or if it's in Christ. And we ought to put the emphasis on a soul wherever it is. But I tell you, we shouldn't forget it. Like Jesus said, he said to go into all the world, didn't he? And preach the gospel to every creature. And so let's try to believe that way. And let's pray that way. And just like Jesus said in Matthew 9, he said, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest to send forth reapers. Now when Jesus said that in the first century, we had about 250 million people in all the world. We have almost that many in the United States right now. There's more than 250 million in Russia. And if you look at China, probably four times that many as the world was when Christ said this. Now, if it was like that when Christ said it, what is it now? We're living in the day of the greatest challenge in the history of the world. There are more souls out there in darkness right now than ever before in the history of the world. But let's look at it not as a problem, not as an impossibility, but as a great challenge. And everyone can do something about it. You know, it thrills me to get, I get so many letters from elderly ladies, some in their 80s and 90s, and they're in this WBS. And some have led 500 souls to Christ in the last few years through this World Bible School. Did you know that? And it's real. You can knock it if you want to, but I don't want to knock it. I think it's thrilling that these people can show that their love for lost souls and what they're doing to try to help. But anyway, let's try to reverse this trend. Do less abroad and more at home. Let's just say, do more at home and more abroad. And we're not even doing enough at home. Isn't that true? And we're certainly not doing very much overseas. But anyway, in a positive way, let's really do all that we can. Anyway, I'm going to show you this film. It lasts 20 minutes. And I'm going to let you out at 9:30, and you'll have 15 minutes to get to that auditorium over for that next lecture. And if you want to leave a little bit early, it won't hurt my feelings at all. But anyway, someone turn off the lights. And Lord, would you operate that projector for me? And you can adjust the volume and everything there. And I hope and pray that this film will leave or help you to have more faith in God. Lord, here it is up here, the first, all the way down. No, wait a minute. I'll just show you. Okay. If you need to adjust anything, there's your other.
Warsaw, capital of Poland, Europe.
could close that door over there because they're having classes in other places there.
Help and assistance of the Polish government on all levels. In every city, our brethren have been notified identified as to how many drugs will be delivered to their congregations and had chosen from among the most needy in their communities, those with whom they would be able to share, to kindergartens, hospitals, orphanages, folks' homes, homes for the handicapped and disabled, to all men, and especially unto them who are the household of faith. Church now has new rights and opportunities. mostrare poi di avere sempre un simbolo, poi sta sedendo per suo tempo, non sento poi c'è.
It turned off now. Yeah. Turn the light. Did you enjoy that film as much as I did? Isn't that great, brethren, to know that we are legally recognized after all the troubles we've had for so many years there? Some 24, well, actually, the first convert was baptized in 56. And it's just been so much trouble, so much persecution. But anyway, it's all is going real good now. Yeah, we can run that back later, Lloyd, with the when it's over. But anyway, I want to just talk a little bit about the work there. But in the last service, no, in the next service, by the way, at 11 o'clock, I'll be showing about 40 slides taken over the last 24 years in that work, and showing you some of the persecution, some of the members like Joe Namuk, who is dead, and Henry Cishek, who suffered 2.5 years in prison and was kicked out of the country. Sister Namuk, wife of Brother Joe, also spent 2.5 years. You'll see her, and you'll see pictures of Valenti Davidov and some that you've seen in here, but most of them are people you won't be seeing, you didn't see in this family. Now I'll show you a picture of a new building they built, the first building ever built behind the Iron Curtain. It's in Sopot. I was there for the opening service in October 31st, and there's 287 people crowded in that little building. And it's so full now, they're having two services. They can't even get over 400 people. That's our first building. Now, brethren, when we get out of those homes, did you see those houses? Did you notice how crowded they were? You're stymied. You can't do much. You can't even have classes. You just have one service. When I was in that first home you saw there where they were breaking bread and taking up that collection, that's in Sopot where we have that new building. By the way, that land was given to us by the Polish government. Right down the street from that house you saw there where they were breaking bread and giving the contribution. Anyway, when I was there, about 23 years ago, there were over 75 people crowded in that one little house. It's just an apartment on the ground floor of that three-story building you saw there. And those neighbors up above and everywhere, they're griping all the time. They don't want services held in their homes. And I don't blame them, do you? Would you want a Methodist church to come into your house and hold services right next to your, where you're trying to read or something, or trying to sleep in your living room? That's about what it boils down to. But anyway, in spite of all that, you see what has happened. And right now, things are just so beautiful. It's just unbelievable what's taking place. But brethren, I hope and pray that this film has given you more faith in God, and that you really believe that we can be legally recognized in Russia. I showed this film to about 300 students a couple of months ago here on ACU campus, from one young man. I'm not mad at him. He came up and he said, "Are you crazy? Don't you know Antropov? Don't you know he was the leader of the KGB for so many years? And you think you're going to get legally recognized in Russia?" I want to ask you a question. Where is Antropov right now? You know, don't you? He is dead and gone. He was able to stay in there, 15 months? And wasn't even able to even rule half that time. I don't know what happened to him, but I know one thing. God is ruling. And he can do with Antropov or Cherninko, this new one, or he can do with those others, what he did with Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and all those wicked leaders in the old world. He did it then, and he can do it today. And he will. If we'll just believe. I really believe. And things are happening in Yugoslavia. They're printing Bibles for us now. We've already had some Bibles printed in Czechoslovakia. We're going to get some more. We're getting Bibles printed in Romania. We're going to get some more. We've spoken with the highest officials in Moscow for hours, and they admitted they needed the money, but they said, "We hate the Bible." And they do, but they respect it. And they know there's power in this book, and that's why if you try to go to Russia today, you just try it. Put one of those Bibles, just one of your Bible in your suitcase and see what happens to you. All the trouble you're going to go through with. They tried to take Otis's personal Bible away with him from him on one of our trips.
Just like the lady went over and had a little in her purse and took it out and put it on the floor and stomped on it.
So you just can't believe. But what do they do that? They hate that. They know there's something in there. There's power that can change people's lives, that can make believers. I want to tell you, it might sound different, odd to you, but now Alan Eason is here, and he's worked in Russia, and he has met people. But Alan, isn't it true that you met more people in Knoxville when you were a student there, or as many that didn't believe in God as you met in Russia?
Yeah.
Among young people?
I talked to in Russia, over half of them believe in God.
And there, it was not even half. Isn't that true?
Well, when I was a student in 68, it wasn't.
Yeah. Now, isn't that something right here in the United States? I want to tell you, it might sound odd. In all my experiences in Russia, and those, I never talked to anybody about whether there's a God in heaven or not. Never have. Isn't that odd? I don't have to. They believe it. And I'll tell you, you'll find more belief right now, maybe in perhaps in Russia, and you'll find the United States. Now, that might sound really crude, but it's true. In that part of the world, the way they've lived and the way they've been enslaved, they hate communism. Just very few of them are communists. Most of them are, most of them just like we are. They hate it even worse than you do, but they're enslaved. They have no choice. They have to put up with it. But I'll tell you, they're longing for God. They are longing for God. They're hungering and thirsting. So it's just a thrill. But anyway, we need your help. We hope and pray that you can, if you're not praying for us, that you will. Lloyd Collier back here is helping us, the one that ran the projector. And he's spent many years, at least 30, wasn't it, Lloyd? 25 in Germany, mostly. And he's now traveling, trying to recruit workers, more workers for that part of the world. For example, behind the Iron Curtain, there's about five of us that are doing the work on a permanent basis. Otis Gatewood, Gwen Hensley, and Gwen has cancer right now, and it's really serious. He's in a hospital in Houston. He's been operated on. They had to cut all of his colon out, sew him up, put a colostomy in him, and he's really suffering. And he's one of our best workers, but he hadn't been able to do much since October. I don't know if he'll ever be able to go back or not. Only God knows. But anyway, Otis Gatewood, Gwen Hensley, Kyle Holt, Hans Dedershek, Mike Davidoff, myself, and there's two students right now, Tammy and Driscoll, I forgot his first name, Dennis, are there, and also Will Goodyear's son-in-law and daughter, and also Beth Kay's son and his family. And that's about it for 400 million people. 400 million. So few. And we're trying to recruit workers, and we need your help. But here's something I mentioned a while ago about how few people in the world are members of the church. But here's something almost as sad. 80% of the world right now, 80% don't have a Bible or a New Testament. Can you believe that? That's hard to believe, isn't it? Why? Every one of us here would have at least an average of five Bibles in our homes. And we just take it for granted, well, everybody has a Bible. They don't do it. You think about 80% of the world right now don't have a Bible or New Testament. And what if you were one of those 80%? Where would you be? You'd be lost. You'd be in darkness. And yet we have Bibles, and we don't really appreciate them like we should. And we need help. And I think one of the greatest things we're trying to do is not only recruit workers for those people over there, but also trying to get this Bible into the hands of those people. You saw that Bible bookstore there in Warsaw? The British Bible Society has been running that thing for 30-some-odd years, like they said. And labor behind the Iron Curtain is cheap. That's why we're trying to get many Bibles as we can printed back there. That Bible can be had right now for $3 a piece in Warsaw. It would cost us $7 to print that Bible right there on our printing press in Vienna. That's over a 50% savings. Isn't that true? And it can be had. And I want to tell you, the need there is great. Behind the Iron Curtain is even greater than that need that I mentioned for the world. So few people, and they're literally pleading and crying for a copy of God's Word. So if you could help us with that work, we would be so grateful. Now, it's something that every congregation can do. For example, this young man here, 2 years ago, I met him in El Segundo, California. What was the membership, about 25? And they started helping with $25 a month. Sometimes it's more than 25, but they have averaged $25 a month ever since I was there with him 2 years ago. He's now studying here. Isn't that something? There's a little church up at Burkett, Texas with 15 members. Furman Curley, one of the best teachers here, is out there working with that congregation. And they give $15 a month. They can, and they are, and they're helping in Nigeria and other places as well. In fact, for 15 members, they're probably doing more mission work than any congregation I know of in the United States. Percentage-wise, when you think about 15 members, and they're helping in many mission fields. And I know larger congregations not even helping in one. Anyway, we need your help. If you're a member of some congregation around here, and I think that's the reason so few have come here, because I've been to almost every congregation within a radius of 100 miles of Abilene in the last 3 years. Literally hundreds of them. And they've heard about this work. And I don't blame them for wanting to come back and hear it again. They've already heard it, and they're doing something about it. So if you would like for this film to be shown in your congregation, or if you'd like to talk to Lloyd, we need help. We have workers right now. In fact, Wendell Broom's going to read a letter tonight from a couple in Graz. They're Austrians. They know the language. There will be no culture shocks. They're ready. And they can be supported about a third of what we'd have to pay an American family to go over there. And that's not what it's all about. We want the natives, the nationals, to do their work, don't we? That's what has happened in Poland. And when I was there, the Minister of Culture said, listen, he remembered me. He said, I remember those days you were over here working illegally. But we appreciate what you have done. But listen, Mr. Hare, please let your Polish brethren do their own work. I agreed with him. And that's the way it should be. I'm going over to admonish them. Not to admonish them, to encourage them. And I tell you, they encourage me more than I encourage them. They give me a shot in the arm, and I can't give them. Well, they say they get it, but I don't believe so. But I know I do. But I'm going to do as little as I can because I want to let them do it. And that's the reason that work has been so good, because they have had to do most of it. But anyway, you can help. And we need your help. So there's, even if you're a congregation, if you're just a small group, you can help. And that, say, if like $25 a month, that would buy 8 of those Bibles every month. And in a year's time, that's 96. And besides that, that would be still a dollar left over each month. That's 12 more dollars. And that would buy 12 Russian New Testaments. Because you can see what a small group can do. And what they're doing by helping people with that Bible is to help lead them to Christ. Isn't that true? How can you know and how can you obey the gospel if you don't know the will of God? So you can see the importance. And we need your help. We need your encouragement. We need your prayers. And I certainly appreciate your being here. But if you can come back at 11, I'll guarantee you those slides are really thrill you to see those faces of those people. And you can see the agony and the sufferings in their faces. They went through fire and brimstone, brethren. But they stood the test, and now they have peace. They're legally recognized, and it's right behind the Iron Curtain, and so far back, it's right next to Russia, and I believe that Russia is not too far away. Anyway, if you can, you come back at 11 and see these slides, and I'll guarantee you, it'll thrill you. If you can't come, get someone to come in your place. Will you do that? I'm so sorry that so few are here. But I know it's a busy thing out there. And there's so many good lessons, so many good places to go. I have the same problem. I don't know which way to go. Yeah, I just want to go everywhere. I wish I could split myself up into 10 Bob Hares and just go everywhere, you know. But anyway, it's a problem. But I appreciate you. And just like I said, it's not quantity, it's quality. And what you can do, it's terrific, you know, and we hope some of you are doing it. Some of you have been with us for 30-some-odd years, and we appreciate it so much. We're going to pray, and we're going to dismiss you. You recorded all this, didn't you? Not that it's important, but somebody did want me to get them a copy that couldn't be here. And I want to pray with you as we close.